Thank you so much, Kelsey, and thank you, band, and thanks for always putting it out there about our family, how we work together. It's pretty cool. We have a dynamic, and it works. It works. So thanks, Kelsey, and thanks, band, for playing today. That was really cool. Let's dismiss our children. See you guys later. Take care. Week number three of doing that. It's a joy to do that. I've never liked not having that opportunity for our kids, because our kids get so much out of that, and it's a blessing to see them be a part of that. Okay. So did you have a good week? Yeah? Yeah? Did you shovel a lot of snow, some of you? Yeah? And try to find people to shovel your snow or something. Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of snow, wasn't it? But it was pretty. And it's a reminder why we live in Indiana. Just once in a while, it kind of changes things up, doesn't it? And kind of gets us reminded that we don't live in Florida, and we live right here, where seasons change. Just like our lives, right? Our lives change, and new things happen every day in our lives. Let's pray, and then you can. We're going to turn to a couple different passages this morning as we get into our message. God, thank you so much for this opportunity. And God, I mean that. It's an opportunity to gather with your church, with those that love you, those that worship you. God, I just pray that you would touch us through your word today. Use my little meager bit this morning and just do a massive, massive job in our hearts, in our minds. This morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in a series talking about I want to be like Jesus. There's a lot of people we could want to be like, but the one that we as Christians want to always, always, always lift up is Jesus, because Jesus is a perfect example. He's a perfect example of what I'm supposed to be, of who I am, and the way that I'm supposed to live my life. Because if I pattern my life after anybody or anything else, I will get off the path, and I will be so far off the path that I won't recognize myself, and I won't recognize the need that I have for a Savior that Kelsey was just talking about. So we're going to talk about a different phase of that. And I've been in 1 Corinthians 13. You want to go there. We're going to be there just for a very brief time today. Today we're going to use a lot of Psalms and Proverbs just to kind of give you that, because it kind of goes with a lot of the things that we're going to talk about. But in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to talk about the love passages where we've been kind of camped out. And we're going to be there for another couple weeks, probably another two or three anyway. And today we're going to talk about what it means to be patient, what it means to be patient. Jesus was very patient. He lived his whole 33 years very patiently, very methodically, with a purpose and a plan to do exactly what he came to do. And he did it. And he did it without being angry. He did it without being perplexed. He did it because he loved us so much. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how is love patient? How is love not easily angered? Because that's the opposite of patient, is getting angry. So we're going to talk about those two things today. What does it mean to be patient? And why do we get angry? It goes hand in hand. Because I'm not patient. I get angry when I'm not understood. I get angry when you're not hearing me, especially in a husband and wife. Don't those of you that are married, don't you just get so frustrated because you're saying something and they're just not understanding what it is that you're laying down. And you want to so bad to be understood, but yet you're not getting me. You're not understanding what I'm saying. And so the patience wears thin, and immediately what happens is the anger begins to roll out of us. And so we want to talk about how do we wait with grace? I don't like to wait. Do you? Even the awkwardness of that right there. You're going, what? What's he doing? Did he seize up? What happened? We don't like the wait. We don't want things to go like this. Right, man? Just like this. Go, 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 go. I told him I was going to pick on him. No, he got on me because I picked on him a couple weeks ago, and I'm picking on him again today. Sorry. We're going to talk about how do we wait with grace and what does it mean to wait with grace? Because that's what it means to be patient. It means you may not deserve it, baby. You may not deserve it, but I'm going to give you what you don't deserve, my patience. I'm going to give you the patience to listen. I'm going to give you the patience, and I'm not going to pop off. Because generally speaking, we are good poppers offers, right? We like to pop off. We like to be angry. We like to let you know exactly where we stand. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do I wait gracefully? How do I wait patiently? Because if I do that, then ultimately I'm what? I'm like Jesus. Because that's what our goal is. If your goal is anything else, if it is to get stuff for yourself, it is to make yourself feel good, that's the wrong goal. Your goal has to be, I want to be like Jesus. And today we're going to talk about how do I do that? Do I trust God? Because that's really what waiting's about, if you're patient. Because, you see, if you feel like you're getting overlooked, you're the first to tell everybody, hey, I'm getting overlooked. I spent two wonderful days with my grandkids, my Indiana grandkids, this last week. We got to babysit, and go ahead, you can clap, but six of you anyway. But we had a ball, And my second little grandson, Emerson, is the epitome, because Isaiah is so strong-willed. And so everything that goes on between those two, Emerson's got, but me, and he's always right in the mix, but hey, I'm getting left out here. It's always, you know, and he makes it known that people aren't listening to him or people aren't paying him attention. And even when you are, he continues on, hey, and you're going, what? What is it you want? He gets to that point. But he lets you know exactly that he's being left out of the mix. And we're like that too. And it all comes down to trust. Do you trust God to provide for you? Do you trust God to take care of the things? Or are you one of those people that you're just going to get angry? And you're going to get more angry and more angry and more angry. What is the meaning of patience? It's to wait gracefully, to wait with grace, to wait so that even though they may not deserve your listening, you're going to wait anyway, and you're going to be patient, and that God is going to provide a way, and a way out of the situation that you're in. Part of being a Christian is the ability to be able to accept information and circumstances gracefully. That when people come at you, because that's kind of what it happens a lot, people come at you. You know what I mean when I say they come at you? Yeah. When they come at you, it's your ability to be able to not push back harshly. It's your ability to not be able to come back with the same force at which they came at you. Because when someone comes at you with a loud voice, your tendency is to what? Come back with a louder voice, because you need to be heard. You need somebody to listen to you, whoever that somebody is. So part of a Christian, his walk and her walk, is to be able to accept the things that people bring at you, whether it's your spouse, your boss, your swim coach, whoever it is, they come, your ability to not come back at them more harsh and more angrily than they came at you. Galatians 5:22 tells us that patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is a big deal. It is not something we talk about in the church very much. And that's why I'm choosing to talk about it. Because if I want to be like Jesus, the first place I got to go to is I got to look at me. And I got to look at my heart and I got to say, I'm not the most patient person in the world. And probably most of you aren't either. Many days go by where we find ourselves very angry. And we're not even sure what we're angry about. And it's so easy to get angered about the state of things in the world, and so angry to get about the things. And we let those things take our witness. Now, I want to get real personal. It's your witness. Because when you let the world take away your witness, you've got nothing else. When you're the most angriest person in the world, when people know that you're angry, what? They're not going to approach you. They don't even want to be around you. And some of you are just like a skunk. You just let it rip, and it's all around. And everybody knows you're unhappy. And everybody in the room knows that things aren't good. My friends, that is not the way that a Christ follower lives. I want to take a little different angle on 1 Corinthians because it's very important. It says two things in two different versions that I'm going to talk about today. It should come up on our screen today. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient. Love is patient. Then it goes on and says it's kind. And then in verse 5, it says, love is not easily angered. Are you easily angered? Now, you may not be a skunk, but do you get mad internally? Do you eat up your feelings? Are you one of those people that goes to the corner when you're mad and you just eat it all up? You just gobble it right up? Are you one of those people that when you're easily angered, you just internalize it and it just sits there and it just eats at your guts? You don't have to be a skunk. Everybody doesn't have to know. You say, well, I'm a really meek person, are you? How angry are you about some of the stuff going on in this world today? And you're letting it affect the way that you do you, who you're called to be like Jesus. You're not called to be you. You were called to be like Christ. And that's the deal today. That's the deal today that we've got to get a hold of. And so I want to talk about today, how do we wait gracefully? How can I wait gracefully? Even though they deserve for me to come off on them, they may be wrong, okay? I'm admitting it. They may be horribly wrong. How do I wait gracefully and trust that God has this? Because that's the issue. When we take it on, we're saying, God, you can't do this. You can't do this with my marriage. You can't do this with the country. You can't do this with my friendships. I'll handle it. And how I'll handle it is very poorly. And how I'll handle it is very, very badly. And it continues to increase and increase and increase, and it gets nowhere. All right, so how do we wait gracefully? How do we wait gracefully? None of us like to wait. I don't care who you are. You can say you do. Most of us, you don't like it. You just don't. You don't want to. And the more instant we become, you know, we used to have minute rice. Now we got 30-second rice. I saw the other day at the store. I'm like, what? How did it even go to the minute to 30? It just everything is trying to get us quicker and quicker and quicker. And yet, we find ourselves in hard places with ourselves and with others because it's so easy to just cut people out of our lives and because of the anger and the lack of patience on our part. So let's talk about how do I wait gracefully. Number one, you ask God to help you slow your roll. You ask God to help you slow it down, to slow down your anger, your response, your input, the way that people around you come at you. You have to slow it down. And if you do not start there, you will be an instant person who comes off angrily at those in your sphere. It is so easy to get caught up in a pattern of anger that it breeds more anger. And although then when you do that, then these little other anger babies just come up, and then there's more anger babies, and pretty soon there's just anger all around us. Proverbs 29:11 says this, a fool, listen, pretty harsh words, a fool gives full vent to his anger. A wise person holds it back. You can constrain your anger. You choose not to. You choose not to. It is a choice just like many of the things that we talk about from this place right here. Patience and anger are a choice, and it begins right up here, and it begins then to be able to not let it come out here so you do not continually ruin your witness with you, those that you love and those that you may not love. Proverbs 14:29 says this, slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. Think about that. Slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. In other words, when you don't automatically get angry, you understand. You begin to understand the other person. You begin to understand that when they're coming at you, there's something more than them just thinking you're a horrible person. There's something wrong in them. And you have to begin to go, I am the great diffuser. I am the person that has to begin to diffuse those that are so angry. And then it goes on. I love it. One of my favorite versions says this. I think it's a message. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. Sorry, there's my teeth. It stockpiles stupidity. Great commercial, Adam. You need to come up with that. What do you got in your cupboard? What's in your stockpile? You know, well, it's stupidity. And that's what many of us are storing up. We're storing up a whole bunch of cabinets full of stupidity because we're allowing our anger to vent on those that we love and those that we don't love. And we're not being like Jesus when we're like that. Anger shortens your life. It's stupid because when you're angry, it hurts nobody but you. It may hurt that person, but ultimately it hurts you. And it hurts what? The relationship between the two of you. And we remember when people are angry with us. We don't remember when people are patient with us. If people are patient with us, we are okay with that. That's fine. Great. But when somebody's angry again, you know what? I'm not coming to you to talk about my problems. When you spew anger all the time, nobody's going to come and want to be around you and ask you about what drives you to be like Jesus or anything else. It shortens our witness. It takes our witness and it tramps it down. And that's what I want to understand, get you to understand today. Because most of us, we have a real patient problem because we're not patient. Ephesians 4, it says this, gives us a very practical way to break the pattern of lack of patience or to not let your anger get a hold of you. It says this in Ephesians 4. Jeff, church, those of you watching at home online, listen. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. That means that sometimes you need to wait until the temperature has cooled down. That's why you got to slow your roll. You have to slow your roll. Let things cool down. It doesn't have to happen right then. With kids, with your parents, you just need to say, I need to walk away for a minute. That pesky phrase in there that the psalmist or the Proverbs puts in there, he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. It gives us a time frame. If you do, what happens is you carry it and you start to what? Stockpile it. You stockpile it. And when you stockpile it, you've got a lot of things that you're carrying around with you that you were never, ever meant to carry with you. So we start by praying, God, I want to wait with grace. I ask you to help me to wait with grace. There's where we start. It has to start. Help me to be, even though I'm right here, even though my spouse is wrong, even though my boss is wrong, even though the country on this or that is wrong, help me to slow my roll, slow it down. And then, as you begin to beef up your defense, because that's the next thing that every Christian has to know, we've got to beef up our defense. And how do we do that? We got to protect our relationships. Our relationships are something that we have to protect. You cannot allow your relationships to be unprotected. And many of you have ripped the Band-Aid right off. When you start using bad words, when you start using phrases of terminology that put the other person down and call them words that you do or don't do, and then the tone in which you say it and the loudness of your voice, and you get bigger than life when you do it, those things are not protecting your relationship. Those things are taking your witness and your relationship, and they're stomping it to the floor. Now, follow along here in a minute, because I want to take this in a really different little version than I've ever talked about before. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says this. How do you protect your relationships? How do you beef up your defenses? How do you do that? It says, listen, don't hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Bad temper is contagious. Do not get infected. See, others' anger can easily affect you. And you can go with so many different blogs today, and you can go with podcasts, and people on all those they're angry, and they're angry at each other, and God never intended for us to continually let our anger loose on each other. He intended for us to have healing and patience and understanding. What happens when you can't understand? You wait with grace. You wait with grace. The deal is this. When you feel angry, you feel wronged, right? You feel wronged. You feel like, but, Emerson. But. He. And we're the same way. We're the same way. There's some genuine wrongs going on in our lives. In your lives personally, there's some genuine wrongs going on. There's some genuine wrongs going on in our country. There's some genuine wrongs happening. And there is a time to get angry. I'm not saying that, but you notice what the scripture says. In your anger, do not sin. That's the difference. Do not sin. Do not sin. And so Proverbs 15:1, David gives us this great thing. He says, a gentle response, Jeff, diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles the fire. Most of us, we have to stop bringing a gun to a fist fight. And that's what you're doing. You're shooting the other person. And when you shoot the other person, they got nothing. And all you're doing is, if you do shoot them, you're at least wounding them. And you're missing the opportunity to slide in and be who Jesus called you to be in those relationships. The level and tone and posture that many of you have, or the internal anger that some of you have burning inside of you, God is asking you today to do the next thing that I'm going to talk on our list about today. And it's not just this, it's this. It's dump your troubles every day on God. Dump your troubles every day on God, because if you don't, they will stockpile, and they will build up, and they will build up, and they will build up. And what we do is, when we let them pile up, they begin to overwhelm us, and patience goes out the door. Anger and anxiety are so closely related, and I've never heard so many people talk about anxiety as I've heard about in the last year. Do you know, this today is exactly a year when we started really talking nationally about the coronavirus. I remember going to a meeting. It was February 22nd, and it was with the high school and the local high school, and people were scared, and they had anxiety, and it's like, what are we going to do? There's this thing coming, and we're talking about closing down churches and closing down schools and closing down businesses, and it became a really, really pivotal time for the church, because the church couldn't even get together except online. The church couldn't even get together and say, what, we need to pray about this. And so we begin to do that. And I believe anxiety is taken over the church. It's taken over many in our culture and our country today. Many that don't even know who Jesus is are so worried and so anxiety-ridden that they're looking for anything to give them a minute of peace. And that's what we want to talk about today, is the lack of peace. It's when anger and patience are patience is gone, and anger is the rule of the day. Psalms 37:8 says, church, stop your anger. Churn off your wrath. Do not fret and worry. It only leads to harm. Worry hurts us so much. It comes out in the angry words that we say. See, the next time you're filled with anger, here's something you want to write down, something I say today. Write this down. What am I worried about? The next time you're worried, ask yourself this. What am I really worried about here? Am I worried that I'm not being heard? Am I worried that I'm going to lose my place? Am I worried that somehow you're going to think less of me? What are you worried about that makes you so tense, angry, and filled with anxiety? There's always an answer on the other side of that. See, when you do that, listen, you admit that you have an anger problem, there's something there, it then is not the other person's responsibility. You put it right where it is. You put it back on you. Because it is your responsibility to manage your emotions. It is your responsibility to imagine, to engineer how you respond to people in your sphere. We use phrases like, you make me so mad. You ever do that? Yeah, you make me so mad. Who's responsible in that little phrase? You are. The truth is, you don't make me so mad. The world doesn't make me so mad. Circumstances don't make me so mad. I make me so mad. The next time you want to get mad, holler that out. I make me so mad. Okay. I just make myself a wreck. Choices I'm making are the things that cause anger to happen in my life. And I let it in. I let it happen. But once I start doing that, once I start dumping my troubles every day, then what happens is I begin to take responsibility for my anger. And patience begins to come back in. I begin to do what Philippians 4 says, a passage that all of you have heard, and we ignore it daily. And when some preacher gets up and talks about it, the first thing that's out of a preacher's mouth, some dang preacher stands up and says this verse, we're going, yeah, but that doesn't work with me. Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Yeah. Instead, pray about everything. Okay, yeah. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. If you do this, you will get God's peace. Why don't I have peace? Philippians 4 just told me. Why don't I have peace? Why do I got so much anxiety? Why do I get so angry? Because I'm missing the peace that passes all understanding. But Jeff, it's bad out there. The peace that passes all understanding. So do you want peace this morning? That's the question I want to ask you. or do you like the turmoil that you're in? Some of you, I think you like it. I think you like it because it's all you know. You just got to be in some kind of turmoil. What is up with that, church? What is up with that? And we have to be in that kind of a state of mind. See, on days like when you've got this lack of peace, you need to understand that you need some dumping to happen. You need to dump your troubles, your anxiety to God. And it means you haven't been doing it because you're stockpiling stupidity. Your cupboards are full of it. They're full of it. And you're trying for peace in every area you can find, and there's no peace. Only God will bring that peace when you're at peace with yourself and with Him. And you're trying to do it any other way, you will find yourself getting rubbed raw, and you will be irritated, and you will be angry, and you will be spewing everywhere you go, everywhere, known or unknown. And some of you, you've let the horse out of the corral, and God is calling you today to bring him back. To bring him back and to bridle it and to put a saddle on it and to make peace with him today. You tell God you're grateful in the midst of horrible things going on. God, this is what I'm thankful for today. I still have my health. I'm thankful today that I still got this. I'm thankful. You find things to thank him. And when you do that, peace returns. Peace returns as you dump your troubles. You cannot continue to carry that dump load of troubles with you everywhere you go. Two more things, and then we'll be done. You've got to learn to wait well. You got to learn to wait well. Jeff, thank you very much for that. Let's go home. Give me a quarter, and we'll stick that in a machine someplace. It is beyond my comprehension to understand what it means to wait well. Most of us go, I'm not very good at that. I don't know what to do. And there's three ways to wait. And I wrote them down very quickly, and I got three scriptures, and that's all I got. I got not a lot to say about it except the fact that it works. It works because it's in the Word, and it shows us a way that Jesus gave us a way out. The first way to wait well is to wait quietly. Everybody doesn't have to know that you're angry. Every piece of your social life doesn't have to know that you're so angry about everything that's out there. It just doesn't. Wait quietly. Wait quietly. I put on there Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, whose soul seeks him. And so I ask you today, are you seeking him for peace? Are you seeking him quietly in your life to be able to wait? Wait joyfully. Wait joyfully. You say, what have I got to be happy about? What have I got to be joyful about, Jeff? Have you looked at the world? They're killing babies. Have you looked? Well, we got to be very careful. He says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know what, church? The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Patience. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. I love that verse. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, that you're going through trials. I have to wait joyfully, knowing that Jesus has the process. I don't see a way out of it. I really don't. Other than Jesus just airlifting us all out of here tomorrow. I don't. But Jesus does. Jesus does. So I want to wait joyfully. And lastly, I want to wait not just joyfully, but I want to wait with grace to be me, to be myself, to be who God made me to be, not to be me. See, that's where we get it up. We get the problem. The problem is that if I'm trying to be me, I'm a mess. And if you're trying to be the best me you can be, Forget it. Forget it. You will never be the best me you can be apart from Jesus. If you're just trying on your own to, you know, you got a bunch of things that you live by other than the Word of God, you're not going to last very well or very long. You got to have grace for yourself. You got to give yourself enough grace to be able to say, I do not deserve what God is doing for me or can do for me, but in spite of that, I'm going to live my life for Him today. Romans 8, 25 and 26 says this, but if we hope for what we do not have yet, and we wait for it patiently, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What's our weakness? A lack of patience. It's a lack of patience. And we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. You don't have to know. You don't have to know. You got to just have grace for yourself and say, I'm a mess. I know it. And I'm just going to wait on God. I'm going to let Him do it. I don't have to be appreciated. I don't need my husband's approval. I need God's approval. I don't need my wife's approval. I need God's approval. Yeah, it's good to get your wife's approval, but go for God's first. Go for God's first. Go for God's first. Lastly, ask God to help you change your expectations. Ask God to help you change the expectations that you have for yourself and the way that you're living your life in spite of this weird world that we live in. Our anger always starts in our thoughts. It always starts up here. It comes in and we see somebody else with a nicer house and a nicer car, and the thoughts begin to go, why not me? You know? These expectations that we have. I work hard. We work two jobs. We work for 30 years. And look at the beater that we're driving. Look at the house that we're living in. Oh, my goodness. And so my expectations then get knocked up a little bit higher. They're higher and higher and higher. Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts ruin your life. Your thoughts ruin your life. You see, the way you think is eventually going to either make your life better or it's going to ruin your life. And we have these expectations that are going to happen. And you all know what I'm talking about. You moms, you think today is the day that the family is going to get together, and you cook a wonderful meal, and it's this great Italian feast, and you got all these desserts, and you spent the time, and the family comes in and eats it, and 3 minutes they're done, and that was all there was. And you had it in your mind that it was going to bring the family together. And tonight we can sit. Tonight we can talk. And we can tell how everything is. And it's wonderful. And the kids will open up. And everybody will be. It doesn't happen. Our expectations. And then anger follows. And then I'm not going to do that again. Waiting with grace means you're going to do it again and again and again. You have this wonderful expectation of you and your husband are going to have this wonderful romantic night, and it doesn't happen. Immediately, your patience goes out the door. See if I try that again. See if I do that again. Our expectations, God can change them. He can change them to be His expectations and not just mine. And then God does some funky, incredible, miracle-type stuff. And we're going, I wasn't thinking that was going to happen. Done that so many times in our lives where we've tried to throw money at things. And the things that we think are going to make things better, they aren't. It's just one day you wake up and your kids are talking to you. And you wake up and your spouse and you're on the same page. And you go, where did that come from? Got to be careful about our expectations. Be sure they're not just ours, that they're His, that they're His. The greatest change in expectations needs that we have to have the expectations that we trust God that he's got the ultimate outcome of everything that goes on in this world. There's a verse, I think, if you can pull that up, Mindy, I think it's in Exodus 34:6. I want to read that, and then we're going to, Ben, you can come on up. It says this. There's a song. I am the Lord, the merciful and gracious God. I am slow to anger, and I am rich in unfailing love and faithfulness. Listen, that's who God is to you. That's his challenge to you today, that he is rich in love. You are a total mess up. You are. I am. We all are. But we're not a disappointment to God. He is rich in love. He is rich. He's got all the love there is. And he loves you regardless. And his unfailing, it doesn't fail. His love for us doesn't fail. And that's what I want you to know today as you think about God's expectation of you. He's going, but Jeff, I'm such a mess up. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that you the third time you went back to the habit you never should have gone to. Doesn't matter that again you yelled at your spouse. Doesn't matter again that you blew up at your kids, because his love is enough to cover all that. His grace is enough to cover you. It is unfailing. That's what you can expect from God. He is slow to anger. I want to be like Jesus. Do you? Start with this. Seek his patience. Seek his unfailing love. Grab on to his great love for you. And know that, as Kelsey said, he's not trying to squash you like a bug. His love is great. His love is unfailing. It never fails up. Never, ever, ever. Isn't that good news today? How do I wait? I wait gracefully. Wait gracefully. Patiently. When anger comes, don't carry it to the next day. Leave it in today. Don't stockpile stupid. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Love is patient. It is kind. It is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. God, that's who we want to be. That's what we want to be like. Patience. It is a virtue, but it's also who you are. And you're patiently waiting today for us to come back and to say, in spite of our mess upness, we're running to you. We're saying, God, remade us, remake us. No matter how angry I was yesterday or last week, do a work in me. Your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see what God does in you, those of you at home today and those of you here. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, we've got some folks in the back that'd be glad to do that with you today.
Lost are saved. Find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Great name, the enemy, he has to leave at the sound. of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us.
Wait gracefully. That's a hard thing to do. But God has called us as a church to wait gracefully. And we can be assured that God is waiting for us. If you're here today and you've just gone so far away, so far off where God has intended for you, it's not too late to turn back. He is an unfailing God that has unfailing love for you that is there. Yes, the world is messed up. But you don't have to be. You don't have to be. God has a great plan and a purpose for the church, for you, and for me. Let's thank God that he does. Thank God that he does. Today, as you get ready to leave, a couple things to remind you about. If you're at home, don't forget that tonight is our youth band at 5 o'clock, and it goes till 6:30. And then in 2 weeks, our youth group starts back up at 6:30. We're pretty excited about that. I think we're talking about maybe bringing back the Snack Shack, so some of you will be glad for that. So that's coming back in March. And we've got Easter coming up. These are all the big days for the church, and it's a big day for the church to be the church. And that's why we're doing this. That's why we're being hard on each other. That's why we've got to understand that we can't be proud, and we can't be easily angered. We've got to be the men and women that God has called us to be in this society today. Thank you so much for being here. Maybe one or two other things. The Hub is this Tuesday. We really could use some help. Because of the weather, many people have not been helping. We could use you. So if you got some time, 5 to 6:30, we can. It's very simple stuff, hanging things up, passing food out. It is not brain surgery. We could use you this Tuesday, 5 o'clock, and we'll take care of that. Last thing I want to get to you, and those of you at home, I want you to start praying about this. But we talked about it with the elders, and we're going to go ahead and try to have summer camp this year. And so the way we're going to do, yeah, you can clap. Yeah, sure. Yeah. We need your help. And so in March, we're going to ask for helpers, and then we'll get back to you. It'll be a shortened version, a cheaper version. We're going to kind of ease back into it this summer. and that's coming. And we're gonna do everything we can to be socially distanced and to do the best we can outside. That's all coming. We'll get you those dates as time comes. But we need help. And as you see those things come out, please be a part of that. We're going to have the men's retreat. That'll be down at camp in May, the first, I think it's April 30th and May 1st. So men will be having our kind of a great time down at camp. And so we're going back to all the stuff that we do. We're opening everything we can. And we're going to try to stay safe and be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do in this church. God bless you. Have a great day. The band's going to take us out.